We hope you find this WILL podcast to be valuable. A $10 voluntary credit card contribution at willpledge.org will help us continue to make podcasts of our programs available. Thank you. And that address again is willpledge.org. willpledge.org. Now here's your program.
Time is 8:49, 62 degrees outside our studios at Friends Plaza in Urbana. Time now for the pre-opening market report with WILL Director of Agricultural Programming, Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Jim, and good Friday morning, everyone. The Commerce Department today says that new orders for long-lasting U.S. manufactured goods rose more than expected in May as bookings for transportation equipment rebounded strongly. Durable goods orders increased 1.9% after a revised 2.7% drop in April, which was previously reported as a 3.6% fall. Excluding transportation, durable good orders increased 0.6% after a revised 0.4% decline in April. Meanwhile, U.S. economic growth was revised modestly higher in the first quarter to account for a slightly faster pace of restocking by businesses and a smaller increase in imports. Gross domestic product growth rose at an annual rate of 1.9%, up from the previously estimated 1.8%. The economy expanded at a 3.1% rate in the fourth quarter. First quarter growth was supported by stronger than previously estimated accumulation of business inventories, slower imports, and a smaller decline in residential construction. This morning, private exporters reported the sale of 120,000 tons of U.S. soybeans to China for delivery during the 2011-12 marketing year. That marketing year for soybeans will open on September 1st. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is at 12,002, down 47 points. The NASDAQ is at 2672, down 14.5. The S&P 500 is at 1279, down 4.25 points.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Here's meteorologist Drew Lerner with a look at the weekend weather outlook.
Favorable Midwest weather will likely continue as we go forward through the next 5 days. We're expecting a mix of sunshine and scattered showers and a few thunderstorms. Temperatures will likely warm up a bit, but we've got abundant moisture out there, and it's going to continue to promote rapid crop development in the majority of the region. We do anticipate the overall pattern continuing to be favorable, at least through the middle part of next week. We'll encounter a bit of a change late next week that will probably bring on much warmer, in fact, hotter weather across a fair amount of the region, and our rainfall will likely be suppressed for a few days. Well, let's talk about the near-term weather in a little bit more detail, and then we'll talk more about that heat wave coming up. The precipitation potentials across the Midwest here over the next few days will likely continue to be as it has been. We'll have two different waves of energy moving from west to east across the region, and each one will likely set off scattered showers and thunderstorms. The atmosphere is changing somewhat in the sense that the amount of moisture that's available for generating widespread, evenly distributed rain events is becoming more difficult. And we're likely to see the end result of this, a much more erratic rainfall distribution as we go forward through the next 5 days. The precipitation potentials today will be greatest in the eastern Midwest. We expect most of the precipitation to be quite limited, though. And another system will show up tonight and tomorrow in the western Corn Belt, and that will likely continue with us probably on into Monday. And we'll likely see maybe 65% of the region picking up on rainfall, and moisture totals in this event are likely to run mostly a tenth to five-tenths of an inch, with some local 3/4 inch plus amounts. Now, some of the greater amounts of rainfall will likely be in localized areas in Missouri, maybe a few locations in the eastern Dakotas, and also possibly in the Wisconsin-Minnesota border area. But I do not expect to see widespread substantial amounts of rainfall from this event. The eastern Corn Belt will be involved with the same kind of situation, with much of that precipitation expected to begin as we get into Sunday and going on into about Tuesday or next week. The precipitation that occurs will likely end up giving us coverage around 70-75%, and we'll likely see rain totals running 1/4 to 3/4 of an inch most often. There may be a few exceptions to that where we could see some 1-inch plus amounts take place. Those are most likely going to be confined to the northern parts of the region across the Great Lakes region in particular, but there may also be some random strong thunderstorms in a few locations in the Ohio River Valley. I just don't think that the potential for that is going to be as great in the south as it might be in the north. As we get into that middle part of next week, that's when that ridge of high pressure will start to build up across the plains and western Corn Belt. On Wednesday, the ridge axis will be over the western belt. By the time we get to Friday of next week, the ridge will be right over the heart of the eastern Midwest. And in response to this, we're likely to see some very warm to hot temperatures evolve across much of the region. High temperatures could get well into the 90s. In fact, will definitely get into the 90s across a big part of the region. Temperatures over 100 will certainly be possible in the western Corn Belt, coming from Kansas into parts of Minnesota and possibly a couple other locations neighboring states. But I don't think we're necessarily going to see that persist for any great length of time. And we're far enough away from this event that there's still potential that the excessive heat like that may be mellowed out in future model runs. But without a doubt, there's going to be at least a temporary insurgence of much more notable heat across the region, and it will last for a 2- or 3-day period. A cool air mass will come down from Canada, coming in to bring some relief from that event as we get to the end of next week and into the following weekend. But the cool-off is not going to be real substantial, and the amount of precipitation that occurs is going to be minimal because of a tropical system that's likely to be in the western Gulf of Mexico, restricting the northbound influx of moisture from that region into the heart of the Midwest. So a closer watch on our weather is going to be warranted as we go forward through the latter part of next week and into mid-July, but there's no crisis for the near-term forecast for most of our crop country. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Thank you much, Drew. In the Thursday overnight trading session, Kansas City July wheat open at 762 up 2, last trade up 9. July wheat at the Chicago Board of Trade open at 650 up 1, last trade up 8.5. December 716.25 up 2, last trade up 9.25. July 773 up 2.75, last trade up 8. July corn open at 687 down 3.5, last trade up 12.5. December 652.25 up 6.25, last trade up 6.5. July of next year, 677 up 5, last trade up 6.25. July soybeans open at 1318.5 up 3/4, last trade up 6. November 1318.75 up 1.5, last trade up 7.75. July soybean meal open at 342.90 up 230, last trade up 250. July soybean oil open at 55.31 up 16, last trade up 24. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group. She is in Champaign, Illinois. Good morning, Jackie.
Well, good morning, Dave. How you doing?
I am doing well. I am glad it's Friday.
Oh, my goodness.
With this kind of week in the trade. And what this week has shown me is that, macroeconomical factors still can really trump what are pretty good micro fundamentals. And overnight, the markets were up a bit, even though we got that the Republicans are walking away from the deficit reduction talks. And I'm beginning to think, will that get traded today?
Yeah, it's really hard to say, Dave. It's one of those situations where there are so many factors going on in the background. We've got the China thing, we've got the Greek bailout, we've got weather, we got funds moving around because of concerns, as to what the Greek thing might do, and then you add this to it. Just how do you peg what's actually impacting the market? But I think you summarized it well. Macroeconomics, and we've talked about that a lot. In fact, I think, what was it, last Friday, I said the 800-pound gorilla is still the economy, world and U.S., and this week certainly showed it. It also showed that there's resilience there. We've got export sales that seem to be coming out of the wall this morning, And yesterday, of course, even though we had cancellations on beans, we had some unknown, usually China purchases, that came in right after exports were announced. And so I think we have reached a level, at least in the eyes of a lot of end users, of value and perceived value, let's say.
Well, I'm not quite sure if yesterday's coming off the spike lows was a matter of we had buyers coming in or we just simply ran out of sellers.
Well, you know, you have to have a buyer for every seller. So there had to be people there. But at the same time, when you looked at the technicals coming off those lows yesterday, you know, we didn't create a candlestick doji, but we got doggone close on December corn. I thought it looked as, you know, it was a really strong technical reversal from that standpoint off of where we were. And so all the sell stops were hit, it seemed like, you know. The negative sentiment kind of went away, and that's usually the turner in the market.
And no doubt we dressed up the daily charts, but the monthly charts still are awful.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's it's going to take some real work to get that back. And yet, you know, if you look at December corn, last month we actually hit a lower low than what we have this month so far. But the loss of 20.5 cents certainly doesn't look pretty for the month at this point in time. I think that 650 level is extremely important, and of course the 100-day moving average. When we were able to get above that 636 yesterday, it gave some people, and possibly some of the automated funds, you know, that use those averages at times to trigger buys, some drive to get back into the market. But after yesterday's trade, I'm not sure I trust anything that's going on right now. The dollar was down earlier. It's trading a little bit stronger now, and when you look at crude oil, Okay. Crude oil is actually up at the moment, so you can't peg it to any one thing.
Thank you much, Jackie.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Jackie Vakes of Stuart Peterson Group. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana.